roof of the church could just open up like those big football stadiums, wouldn't it? Who knows? I don't know. Somebody said someday. I don't know. Maybe. So just a couple things. If you would be interested in serving in the nursery, at the end of the service, Samantha will be in the back. See her on that, and she will help you to become a part of one of the greatest ministries in any church on the face of the earth is the nursery, serving them beautiful, beautiful babies that God released into the world. And we'd love to have you be a part of that. Some prerequisites, of course, to do that, but you may be shocked at the calling that God may put on your life to do that. I'll tell you, one of the best nursery workers, servants that we have at the City Church that works with the babies is Mr. Ben Martin. The best. So guys, how many men here just love to change dirty diapers? Let me see your hand. All right. I saw one. Is there more than one? Ben, raise his hand. How many men here have never changed a dirty diaper? How many men aren't going to put their hand up no matter what I say? Jim Booty, you raised your hand. I think it would be good for you to get back into the baby business. He's shaking his head no. And then this Thursday, picnic in the parking lot. We have an incredible time, so we won't be in the sanctuary this coming Thursday. We'll move right over. It'll be outside. We're believing the Lord for another beautiful day. And then a week from this coming Thursday, Pastor Dino Rizzo. Now, for some of you, maybe you've never heard of the ARC Association. It is the largest church planning and resourcing to local churches nationally in the country today. I was just looking at some of the statistics. Since ARC began, I think it's been, he'll correct me when he's here, maybe 10, 12 years, they've launched 733 new churches. But they're also an incredible resource. Pastor Dino also serves with Pastor Chris Hodges, which is called the Church of the Highlands in Birmingham, Alabama, who in and of itself has 20 campuses that meet every single Sunday. And Pastor Dino is Pastor Chris Hodges' right-hand guy. I've been trying to connect with him for years. He is an astounding communicator, brilliant. He's just a normal guy, but my goodness, when he speaks, I could never get him on a Sunday, but he will be with us on the Thursday. That'll be Thursday, May 30th. He's also going to come. Our church has become a part of the ARC organization, and we're going to have what they call a meetup here on that Friday following that for pastors around the region and leaders. And to date, we have a little over 50 that are committed to come to that. So be in prayer. But that Thursday night, clear your schedule. That will be an extraordinary night here at the City Church. So this coming Thursday, picnic in the parking lot. The next Thursday, Pastor Dino Rizzo. And then if you're considering, you'd love to sew and work in the nursery, Samantha will be in the Outback. I want to say a big amen to Mrs. Aaron Martin for the incredible dance recital this last week. It was yesterday and Friday night. Thursday night, Susie Gagne blew it out of the park. Blew it out of the park. And then last Sunday, my wife, Patty, sharing on Mother's Day. Wasn't she just amazing? Just incredible. I can't tell you how many people came up to me and said, how come you only have her do that once a year? Just want you to know you hurt my feelings when you say that. No, I'm just joking, no. But maybe I will. She said it takes her a year to get a message ready. She can do it. Lord, thank you for these next few moments. Work in every one of our lives, I pray, today in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. You got your Bible. There's one verse I'd really like you to hone in on here. I'm going to share many of them. It's in Proverbs 23:7. It's an incredible verse. When I was thinking of this series that I had started a few weeks ago, and we did water baptism we did Mother's Day, and then, you know, so we became busy with other things. But this thought, my next, is something that is very close to my heart. And as I'm putting this together, I'm thinking of, okay, what can I call this? And all I could think of was the phrase, becoming me, becoming who God has called me to be. Because when you discover who you really are called to be, for some of you, it can take decades to do that. But for others, you can have an experience, an encounter with God that will change that in a moment and move you into the right direction that you are called to go. Sometimes we think that we're going in a right direction only to find out that that direction is leading us with the results that we've been getting over and over and over again. And we become saddened over that. We become disappointed over that. But when we begin to think right, we begin to act right. I want to say that again. When we begin to think right, we begin to act right. That's why this verse is so powerful, Proverbs 23:7, because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As you are thinking today, when you think about loving others, then you will do it. And you'll begin to move in that direction of loving others. When you think about forgiving others, you will do that. You'll begin to move in that direction to forgive people. When you begin to think about letting go of your past, when we begin to think about letting go of people who have hurt us, then we will, and we'll begin to move in a direction that is healthy for our lives. When we begin to think that there is more for our lives than we ever thought possible, then we begin to move in the direction of embracing that and beginning to live that out in our own personal lives. Because sometimes we get going in life and we get so, you know, mulled up with a whole bunch of things, we forget what we're doing and what we've even been called to do. Proverbs 29:18 in the Message says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they're most blessed. And I want to tell you somebody today that God may be doing something in your life or for your life. If you have your mind fixed on him, he will give you the answer that you're longing for right in the middle of that. Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and pleasures of living with you forever. That's what God wants to do. He wants to show you and I the pathway, the way we are called to live our lives. And every day, you and I will have to realize that some of the influences that are around us will try to keep us from being the person that God has called us to be. They will try to minimize the dreams that God has planted in our heart and marginalize the potential that is upon your life. But you can't let that happen. You and I have to continue to move forward to what God has called us to do. As much as it may seem different to you and how you live and how you act or how you were raised, God's got a higher purpose and a higher and a greater plan for your life and for mine. The Bible says in Romans 12:2, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. Look at this, by changing the way you think. Some of you, you've been assassinated with stinking thinking. And God wants to lift that out of your life. He says, change the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. But you got to change the way you process. You got to change the way you think. You have to let things come into your mind that will transform you into being the person that you are called and created to be. If you're watching the same thing over and over and hearing the same stuff over and over. My youngest son, Garrett, he's in LA. He was texting me this morning. He's going to Angelus Temple this morning, and he wanted to know the hookup so he could sit up front. So I was thinking, my son Garrett, he's a news junkie, and he's politically, he loves the process. I wouldn't be surprised someday if he made that move into politics. But he came home the other night, Patty and I, we're just kind of mindlessly, we're sitting in the chair, tired, we're watching news. He comes walking in, he goes, oh, he said, can you just turn that off? It's the same thing over and over. And you know what? He's exactly right. Sometimes, and we listen in our lives to the same thing over and over and over. And God wants to do something brand new in your life and in my life. And you have to allow that to happen. Sometimes we allow the enemies of comparison. We're looking at somebody else and thinking, well, if I had what they had, then I could be what I'm supposed to be. If I was married to their spouse, if I drove their car, if I lived in their neighborhood, if I had their job, if I could do this or do that. And we get nebulized by this attitude of comparing. And then we become confused. We don't know what we want. We don't know where we're supposed to go. And then we settle for the counterfeit, always hoping to be somewhere else at a particular time instead of really trusting God that he's got your process in the palm of his hand and he's working something beautiful out in you and I no matter where life has found us today. He's doing something good in you. He really is. And I'm only going to be a few minutes, so you got to listen good today. How many listeners do I have today? Come on, let me see your hand. He wants to reveal his purpose, and he wants you to know that while you were being created in your mother's womb, while you were being formed in your mother's womb, God, the Bible says, he was releasing his plan for your life into you right then and there. The Bible says, Jeremiah 1:4-8, he said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Let me just say this. Let me step into a hot topic right here. We are pro-life for the simple reason, and you know, I know there's, and people want to argue, how about this and how about that? Do you know some of the most incredible people on the face of the earth that are walking their life today are a product of a tragic occurrence in that mother's life? And I understand that there's some terrible things that have happened that way. But the Bible says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. God, he knew you. And he was there. He was there. While you thought nobody was looking, God was there. Amen. Before you were born, he said, I set you apart. There is a deposit in every human being that walks on the face of the earth of the presence and the power of God in their life, that when they hear the gospel, when they are exposed to the things of God, something changes in their heart because he was there when they were being formed, before they were born. He set you and I apart. Not just for Jeremiah. He set you apart. He set me apart. He has embodied us to be the children of God. And he goes on to say, Lord, how do I do it? How do I speak? How am I going to do this? And God says, don't be afraid. I'll empower you with what you need to be what you have been called to be. I'll empower you. And God wants his power in your life, that every time you engage in the process of serving him, he will show you that he has empowered you to be who you are called to be. And that's why, even in our children, that's why today, if God's moving on you to do something with the nursery, don't hesitate, don't wait. And I love that our kids are being taught right where we're here. They're hearing the gospel. They're understanding. And when the people that serve in the nursery, they're holding our babies and are speaking life and blessing and hope and destiny over their lives. Because while they were yet being formed, before they were born, the power of God was upon them, setting them apart for something really great. Really great. And then becoming me is knowing that God is always revealing himself to us. He's always showing himself to you and I, even in times where it seems to be challenging and difficult. The story of Joseph in Genesis, how he was born and God had given him a dream, and he begins to see a nation and his brothers bowing down before him. And he takes the audacious decision and he tells his brothers, all of them older than him. And he says, I see you bowing down before me. I had a dream. Well, they got all uptight, got jealous, took him, threw him in a pit, and thought, oh, let's sell him. Sold him to a band of gypsies. Then as time goes on, he goes from one disappointment to the other, to the other. He lands in jail. He's in prison. Until one day, 20 chapters in the book of Genesis, that he rises out. He becomes the number two man in the land. And there's a famine in the land. And guess who God gave the dream to? The same dream that he gave him to as a young boy. He was revealing himself even when he had become older. And he had gone through all these heartaches and all of this difficulty. And here's Joseph, second in command. And he is in control of where the food goes. And guess who shows up in front of him? All the brothers that tried to harm him and hurt him and send him away. And they didn't even know who he was. He'd been in that land so long that some theologians thought maybe his complexion was changed by that Egyptian sun, and he pulled back those covers off his head and he looks down at his brothers, and I can't imagine how they gasped, they held their breath. Let me just insert something in here. Be careful what you say about other people at certain times. You will never know when you might need that person again in your life. Oh, amen. Some of you feel like you're disqualified because you hoped that God was going to use you some time ago. You feel like the reality of the purposes of God happening in your life are gone because maybe you have failed. Maybe you have made a mistake. Maybe you've gone through a breakup. But can I tell you, he can use the pathway that you've walked down to help someone else. You are not going through or have not gone through what you've gone through just because you're under penalty of making some mistake in your life. God didn't create it, but the Bible says he will use it to do something powerful in your life and in your future. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, he looked down at his brothers, Joseph. He said, what you tried to do, you meant to harm me. You had it in your heart. That's why people say, if you're going to forgive me, you got to forget everything that happened. Your nature is not going to forget. But God pulls the power of the harm and the hurt out of you, and he turns it around, and he begins to do something good. He had no bitterness in him. He had no malice. He could have had them struck down, killed, taken away, and nobody would have said a thing. And I'm telling you, you will have that opportunity in your life. The people that harm you, you will have an opportunity that you can strike them back with a sword. But look what God uses Joseph to do. He said, you intended to harm me, but God did it for good in me, that I could help save many lives. And when you make that distinction and you make up your mind that no matter what I go through, no matter who does what to me, I'm going to love them, I'm going to serve God, and I'm going to look for the purposes and the plans that God is revealing for my life. I'm going to become me. And God wants to use what you've been through to help others. He didn't create it, but he uses our brokenness. And he brings others in our lives that have been broken from the same thing that broke us. I could walk down and touch 50 people in here right now. You're not done because of your failure. You're not done because of what somebody said or a spouse walked out on you. You're not done. God is going to use it in your life. He didn't create it, but he's going to use it to do something powerful in and through you. And all the time, sometimes when we're just upset, why is this happening to me? Why is this? And God says, because he is forming you for the next place in your life that he is elevating you to. Oh, amen on that. And when I'm discovering this in my life, when I'm discovering who God is making of me, I have to know that in the middle of that, when Patty was praying for me today, she was praying for me, and then she's praying for you and the work of God. She said this, and it just stuck me. I actually added into my notes when I got here, you and I have to live to be brave. You have to face things and deal with things that you have never done before. And my third point is, you have to walk by faith and not by sight. And if you're going to walk by faith, you're going to be brave. You'll never know what God wants to do for you until you walk through those doors that you don't know what's on the other side. Come on, if you're going to clap, don't mess around. This is for Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. And these words seem simple, and I've heard people throw these around all their lives, but they've never stepped through a door. They've never stepped out in faith. They've never made a decision for nothing. They just like to say, well, I walk by faith and not by sight. And the words seem simple, but when you flesh them out, you will find out that the assignment that God has placed on your life is a whole lot tougher than what you ever anticipated it to be. To walk by faith takes tremendous courage and strength. To walk by faith means that you'll be misunderstood and abandoned. To walk by faith means that you give up control of your life and you embrace the plan that He has for your life. To walk by faith, you have to be willing to look like a fool. You have to be understanding that it's a journey that you will go on that will be difficult at times, but its yield will be blessings that you can't even comprehend. It's a journey that's exciting, but it's life-altering. It's mind-boggling, but it's fulfilling in your life. It's a journey that will allow you and to see and to experience the plans that God has for your life like you could never, ever imagine. He wants some of you to do that today. I believe for some of you, you're coming to a place in your life that God is calling you. You got to walk by faith and not by sight. He's calling you to step out. He's calling you to launch into the unknown. He's calling you to believe Him for something that you can't even imagine. For some of you, even when I was talking about giving this morning, some of you, you can't get that in your head. You just say, I just can't do that. But until you walk through that door, can I tell you this? The offering is done. It doesn't matter. I mean, I talk this way because I want to see you blessed. I want to see you fulfilled. But you got to step through that door and trust Him in that area of your life. You got to be around people that are living that way to help you to live that way too. I don't hear a better amen than that. You can't look at others and be jealous and live in that dimension of, well, you know, they must have done, you know, I hear stuff, people, it's just amazing. Well, they must have did this to get that or who knows. Don't judge my harvest until you've examined my seed. Get around people that are lovers of God. Get around people that love to give. Get around people that make decisions that rattle people. Get around them that make a decision to serve God. Daniel 1:8 said, Daniel resolved he was not going to defile himself like everyone else did. Sometimes the walk of faith is a lonely walk, but it's a fulfilling walk. And then last, you're going to be who God has called you to be. You're going to step into your next. You're going to develop and walk in that place. You got to understand that there's going to be times in your life, and you need to ask Him for these God encounters. I was thinking about this. I was thinking about it this week. God encounters in my life. I've told you several times when I gave my heart to Christ, that was a God encounter. See, many people hear the gospel, but they never respond. Encounters happen when you respond to the work of God, when you respond to the Holy Spirit. God was He created an experience that morning that I gave my heart to Jesus. But the encounter in my life came to pass when I responded to it. And I had an experience with a living God that touched me and changed my life. I had another encounter. I went through a season years ago. It was one of the darkest seasons of my life. I remember answering an altar call. I remember kneeling at an altar and sobbing. I had an encounter that changed my life. I remember going to Phoenix, Arizona to pastor school 1 year. And I don't even know if I've ever told anybody here that. But that year, it was, I don't know, it could have been 12, 14 years ago now. I was done. When I went, I wasn't even going to go. And I thought, I bought the tickets and we got it all. I was quitting. And I went to that pastor school, and Pastor Tommy began to talk about how an eagle will go through a process, how they will lose their beak and they can't go and get food on their own. They need others to help them. And I'm telling you, I was so broken and so lonely and so hurt and so feeling rejected, I was done. But when he began to speak that word, something touched my heart, and I felt God draw me. And I'll never forget going to that altar, and I wept. I had an encounter with a living God. It said, get up. Shake the dust off your feet. I have called you. I've anointed you. I have put you where I put you on purpose. You are not done. You are going forward. I had an encounter with God. Some people have experiences all the time. Well, that was nice. That was good. Well, I love that song. That was good. But you have an encounter when you engage in what God is doing and you welcome him into your life and you say, God, move in my heart. Saul had an encounter in Acts chapter 9. It said, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. Listen to this. You want to talk about something powerful. He went to the high priest and he asked him for the letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, that was people that were believing in Jesus at that time. He wanted letters. He wanted names, addresses, because he was going to kill them and have them destroyed. He said whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. And he neared Damascus on his journey. And suddenly, and I believe for a suddenly in some of you today, I believe for a suddenly in your home, in your family, in your relationships, I believe for a God encounter, that suddenly, that Saul who became Paul became, he had an encounter in that moment with God. He said, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. He said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. In that moment, Paul had an encounter. He had an experience first. But when he responded to the call of God on his life, it turned into an encounter that suddenly he got up, and here was a man that was broken, who was murdering Christians. And now, in that moment, in that encounter, Debbie, come on up to the piano. His life was changed, and he began to serve the Lord with all of his heart and soul. I believe that for some of you today. Amen. Come on. I said, I believe that for some of you today. God didn't write him off. God was not done with him. I don't want to tell somebody today, you think God is done with you. I wish I could. I don't want to name names because I don't want to embarrass anybody. God's not done with you yet. He's got more for you to do. He's got a plan that he's working out and he's completing in your life. He's using all the junk, all the disappointment, all the hurt, all the pain. He's using it. I don't like it any more than you do. I don't like it. I'm thinking, God, can't there be another way? And I'm reminded of what Jesus said to the Father, if there'd be another way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, in the darkest moment of his life, he said, thy will be done. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I know I'm talking to me, but I know I'm talking to someone here this morning. And God wants you to rise up from the ashes of your past, from the ashes of your mistakes, from the ashes of your brokenness. He says, I got something for you and you to do in particular. Thank you, Lord. If that's you, if God's talking to you right now, I want you to stand up right where you are. I just felt a nudge from the Holy Spirit. Say, make this real for somebody right now, because this is a day for you. Stand up right where you are. Don't hesitate. Stand up. This is a suddenly moment. This is a moment for you to have an encounter with God. Leave it all behind. Move past it. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know where the prayer people are, but you know what I want? I don't want anybody to move, but I want the prayer people. Chuck, I want you. Aaron, I want you. Danny, I want you. Go and do that. Micah, Nicole, just if you can, go lay your hand on some people and begin to pray for them right where they're at. Father, today, in the name of Jesus, we speak life, hope, strength. I believe in you. I believe in you, Lord God. You're the God of miracles. Thank you, Lord. New life, hope. Let this moment be so real for somebody's life today, God. Hallelujah. I believe in you, Lord. Your eyes closed, heads bowed. I just sense the Lord right now telling me to tell somebody, you went through a moment in your life and you can't forgive yourself for it. Actually, and I'm not asking anybody to step out or anything like that, but I'm just saying this because God wants to heal you of the pain and the guilt. You went through a time where you had an abortion. You've never forgiven yourself for it. You have come today. If you'll bring that to the Lord, you will have an encounter with him. He will wipe your tears. He will give you new life. I don't know who that is. I just felt that come into my heart and my spirit today. God wants to transform you. He's not mad at you. He loves you. Thank you, God. Spirit of the living God. Fall fresh, move on lives, I pray today. Have your way, Lord, in our lives. Help us to become who you want us to be. Thank you, Lord. If you're here today and you've never given your heart to Jesus and you want to do that, I want you to make your way right down to the front here now. We're going to pray for you to receive Christ as your Savior and your Lord. Thank you, Lord. I praise your name, God. I believe in you, Lord. I believe in you, Lord. Lord Jesus, as we pray here today, as we stand in your house and believe in you, I ask you, Lord, complete the work that you have begun in us today. You're the God of miracles. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When the prayer people, when you're done praying, I want you just to come down, stand at the altar, and then I'll close and open the altar up. If any of you are here today and you just need prayer for anything else in your life, I want you to come down. Let these folks pray over you and believe God with you. I pray for every life, for every individual here today, that God, that we would open that door that you have called us to open and be what you have created us to be. I pray you'll give strength, give courage. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everybody said amen. I love you. If you need prayer for anything else, come on down. Let these folks pray over you. This is what...